How many of you have kids in your life? Your kids, grandkids, nieces, nephews, friends. Some of you don't know a kid. Raise your hand if you know a kid. Okay? Isn't it amazing to watch them grow? Isn't it an incredible thing? Just like every second from the minute that they're conceived for the rest of their lives, they're constantly changing and growing. I have this thing I do with a lot of the kids out in the lobby is you've seen it, like I'll give them the high five, right? And they love to run and jump and see how high I can put the hand up and they can still reach it. And some of these kids, I started off doing it like this, and now it's like this, and now it's like this. And now some of them are taller than me, right? And it's just amazing to see how they're just constantly growing and constantly changing. And it happened to you too. You know, you may not remember this, but when you were a tiny baby, your arms were so short, you couldn't reach the top of your head. And now most of you can. A couple of you just tested to see if you could, which is fine. It's fine. When you were a baby, your body was so different, so much more flexible than it is now. You could put your foot in your mouth, you know, and some of us still do that, but it's a different thing, right? You, when you were a baby, you could like suck on your toe, right? And now most of you can't do that. Please don't see right now if you can do that one. Just take my word for it when I say your body has changed, because change and growth is something that God created in you. Change and growth is something that God like programmed into your body when he created you. And you didn't do anything to make that happen. It just happened. You grew and you changed. And I think even more amazing than this physical growth, this external change, is the internal growth and change of not a person's just body, but of their spirit, of their soul, you know, the real you. Because growth is not just how our bodies are changing, it's who we're becoming. Because our spirits, just like our bodies, are constantly growing. And they're constantly changing all the time. They're being formed. Just like, I got an illustration here, just like clay. You're always, from the time you're born, you're being pressed, right? You're being shaped. You're being formed into something. Like, do you appreciate fine art? Do you? Because I'll just watch this. Meteor. Thank you. Watch this. The Earth. Yeah. So art lovers, I can tell who you are. Watch this one. Watermelon. Isn't that amazing? It's beautiful. It kind of like, doesn't it just like bring a tear to your eye? Watch this. Snake. Watch this one. Rattlesnake. That's art, man. That is, and you don't get that at every church, so be thankful for where you go to church. We call this shaping. Ugh, my hands smell terrible now. We call this shaping and molding of clay sculpture, right? And we call this molding and shaping of our souls spiritual formation. And so a couple of weeks ago, we started this series on spiritual formation, and we've been following this really amazing book. I've got a picture of it here, Practicing the Way by John Mark Comer. You should get this book. You should get this book, and you should follow along with us if you can. If you're visiting today, in fact, if you go back to the Connection Center, if you'll agree to read it and kind of do this journey with us, they'll give you a copy of this book. But it's just an amazing book. I love this book so much. The only struggle, honestly, that I've had with this is I feel plagiarism guilt, because everything I have to say about spiritual formation, I learned from John Mark Comer or Dallas Willard. And I just feel like I'm just like reading the book to you every week, and I don't care, because this stuff is just, it's too important and it's too good not to share. And so I want to be fair. I want to make sure I don't steal his ideas or take credit or something like that. So I'll just tell you how you'll know for the next several weeks, okay? If I say something that's like stupid, like, you know, the thing about sucking your toe, like if I say something like that, if I say the clay thing, if I say something stupid, that's probably me, right? If I say something that sounds profound or brilliant, That's probably John Mark Comer talking. So just so you'll know kind of how to credit this thing, I just really want to encourage you, though, you should get that book. And you should read along with us as we're doing this thing every week. I just feel like as a church, we are so ready for this. I feel like we're so ready for this movement because we have lots of new believers. We have lots of people here who have just come to know Jesus. They've just been baptized. And they're saying, like, I'm in, man. I want to do it. Or I've been away from church and I've come back to church. And I want to raise my kids in church. And I want to get to know Jesus. And I want to live this Christian life. How do you do it? Like, what do you do? I need steps. Remember, we talked about those steps at the dance studio, those stickers on the floor that show you kind of how to do it. How do we do this thing? And then we have a lot of other people that have been Christians for their whole lives, for long decades and decades they've been Christians, but they're saying, you know what? I know I'm not going to hell. That's cool, right? I like that. I appreciate that, but I feel like there's more. And I want to be changed. I want to be different. I want to be transformed. I'm just kind of done with only praying for God to do something for me. And now I'm praying that God will do something in me, that God will change me and make me more like Jesus so that I can not just live in the kingdom, but so that I can thrive in his kingdom, so that I can flourish in his kingdom, so that I can make a difference in his kingdom. And like, I've repented. We always do it like this. I was going my way. I was doing my thing. I was following the world systems and all that. And I repent. I turned away from that. And now I'm ready, man. I am ready to go his way. I am ready to follow Jesus. I'm ready to be a disciple. I'm ready to be an apprentice of Jesus. And last week we said the three goals of a disciple, the three goals of every Jesus apprentice is to, one, be with Jesus. And then number two, to become like Jesus. And then number three, to do the things that he did. And these are the steps that we take towards spiritual formation. And we want those steps to be intentional. We want those steps to be intentional because remember, just like our bodies are growing and changing, our spirits are growing and changing. Your soul right now is being constantly pressed, right? And squished and shaped into the form of something. Right? Whether it's Jesus or something else. Whether we know it or not, we are being constantly formed. How many of you are Texans? Yeah, most. So have you noticed how many people are moving here from other areas? Have you noticed that? And yet some of them don't realize that they're on probationary status. But you can see them. I mean, and, you know, we welcome them, you know. But you can see them a mile away. And you know it when you see one because, like, the men don't open the doors for the women. And you like, what is that? Or you wave at them in the car and they just, like, look at you driving by. Or you come up to a four-way stop and you're waiting for them to do what we do. What do? We do this, right? And they just zoom past you. And you're thinking, like, what? These are weird people. These are strange, and the way they eat, they don't like spicy food. They don't like gravy. What is that? I saw a family the other day, a whole family in a restaurant, and they ordered their whole meal for four people. No gravy, not one thing that was fried. And I thought, what are these people? And then I get out in the parking lot, and I see them get into their car, license plate, Oregon. And it's like, ah, okay, there you have it. So they're weird. I mean, we can accept they're weird people, and that's okay. But what's really cool is after a while, something beautiful starts to happen, and slowly they start waving and start saying hello. And one day, without even thinking about it, that man opens a door for a lady. And then they start ordering jalapenos in their kolaches, you know, and before you know it, they're putting gravy on their salad, you know. And like, when they got here, they didn't even know how to talk, you know. They use these weird, like, they don't know, like, really key words in the English language, like ain't and can't and y'all and fixin' to. right? And then just after a short time, all of a sudden, they're ain'tin' and can'tin' and y'allin', and they're always fixing to do something. Like, what happened to them? You know what happened to them? Texas happened to them. That's what happened. And without even knowing it, they were conformed. And they didn't mean to. They didn't try to. They didn't have to. Because it just happens. Just by living here, just by being exposed to the, whatever, the history of Texas. And the stories of Texas. And the people of Texas. And the music and the culture and the food and the heat of Texas. And I just want to say, if you're one of those people, welcome. All of those things are pressing you and squishing you and forming you into a kind of person, a better person. Yeah, a Texan. And if you're new here and you don't see those changes happening to you yet, you don't have to worry. You don't go nuts. You don't got to go buy a big truck, right? You don't got to go buy a $1,200 cowboy hat. You don't have to do that. Just be. Just keep living. Just keep breathing Texas air, right? Just keep talking to Texas people. Just keep eating Texas food. Just survive another hot summer. Texas is forming you, whether you see it happening or not. And a lot of us, I think, don't get that, but I'll tell you who did get that, the Apostle Paul. Because even before there was a Texas, look what he wrote to the church in Rome. He told them, you got to be careful, man. You got to be intentional about your formation, because it's happening. So look what he says. It's Romans 12:2. This is God's people. This is the Jews that have converted to following Jesus now, but they live in Rome. And he says, do not be conformed to this world. Instead, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't be conformed to this world. Instead, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, both of these words obviously have the same like root word, formed. In Greek, it's a really interesting word, metamorphao. Metamorphao. Both of those words come from that same word, metamorphao. You ever heard a word that sounds like that? It's where we get our word metamorphosis, right? Which is the process of a caterpillar turning into a butterfly. And that is not a little tweak. Metamorphosis is an overhaul, right? It's a complete change of the essential nature of someone. It's when they become a whole new life. In fact, Paul called us a whole new, beautiful creation. And that word picture is a picture of the change that's available to us. That's a picture of the change that Jesus is calling us to. And it's not just like some surface level, you know, behavior modification. It's not just like sprinkling a little Jesus on us and then we go back to our regular lives. It's not just changing what we look like or what we do. It's changing who we are. It's real change. It's deep change. It's heart change. It's a spiritual formation. And what Paul was warning these Christians in Rome about was that they had to be intentional about their formation, because if they weren't careful, they're going to be formed. They're going to be formed. And if they weren't careful, they would be formed or deformed by their environment, by Rome. And the Roman people and the Roman culture and the Roman habits and ethics and morals and food and customs and religion could slowly squish them and squeeze them and form them, and not for the better. And you know, if you know your Bible, God's people had actually had kind of a history with this conforming problem. Like 1,600 years before that in the Old Testament. Remember when God delivered his people out of slavery in Egypt? Right now he's taking them over to Canaan, right? To the promised land, and he's leading them out, and he's calling them out of slavery into freedom, right? He's calling them out of oppression into this new life and this new promised land that he has for them. And he's calling Israel to be a light in the world. He's calling Israel to represent his goodness and his love to the world around them. And look what it says, Leviticus 18. It specifically says, don't act like the people in Egypt where you used to live, or the people of Canaan where I'm taking you. You must not imitate their way of life. And then he goes on to list all these sins, these specifically like weird sexual perversions and child sacrifice. You know, the people in Canaan actually would sacrifice their children as an act of worship to the god Molech. And God says, look, that's how the Canaanites act. But you don't do that. You're going to live there. You're going to be there. But don't let their culture, don't let their behaviors, don't let their religion shape you and change you. Don't conform to their ways. Remember my ways, because you're my people. And God said, you need to be holy, because I'm holy. And holy means different. Holy means set apart, not conformed to the world around us. And so God's idea was that the Canaanites would see God through the holiness of his people, and they would be drawn to God through Israel. But instead of being a light in those dark places, God's people just conformed into the Canaanite darkness and the Canaanite culture and the Canaanite ethics and customs and food and music and people, and eventually they began worshiping the Canaanite gods. And you know, we read those stories and we just think, what a bunch of idiots. You know, why would they do that? God just did this incredible miracle. He delivered them out of slavery. Like, what, why would they do that? What's wrong with them? But you know what? They didn't do it on purpose. I don't think it wasn't intentional. It wasn't intentional. It just happened. You know, no Israelite ever said, I know, let's become like the Canaanites. And let's adopt all of their weird gods, and let's adopt their horrible sinful practices of sexual deviance and child sacrifice. They didn't do that. Nobody set out to do that. They just lived in that world. And that world pressed them and squeezed them and squished them and shaped them. And they slowly became conformed to the Canaanites' morals and customs and traditions and culture, and eventually even their religion. They were conformed to the world around them. And so now 1,600 years later, Paul is saying, hey, come on, people. Come on, Jesus followers in Rome. Let's do better this time. You know, let's not make that same mistake. You got a good thing going right now. You know, you know Jesus, and he wants to transform you into his likeness, but that's not going to happen if you're conformed to the world of Rome. And what's really interesting is this word, metamorpho, in both of these, conformed and transformed, it's in the present passive tense. So what that means is formation is not just something that did happen. It's not just something that's gonna happen. It's something that's happening, right? And not just to the Jews in the Old Testament, and not just to the Jews in the New Testament, it's happening to us. Right now, you are being formed spiritually, one way or the other. You're either being conformed to the systems and patterns and ways of this world, or you're being transformed into the likeness of Jesus and the ways of his kingdom. And just like with Israel in the Old Testament, and then again in the New Testament, God is calling us to resist conforming. He's calling us to resist conforming and being shaped and squished and molded and formed to the beliefs and the ways and the systems of this world. We have to resist that so that we can embrace the transformation into the likeness of Jesus. And I'll tell you honestly, we're facing some of the same things that Israel faced even in the Old Testament, because in our world now, the customs, the morals, the way things are, includes all sorts of sexual perversion, right? In our world right now, people sacrifice their children to the god of convenience through abortion. In our world right now, people are sacrificing their children to the god of transgenderism when they help their kids have their lives destroyed with gender-affirming therapy. And it's easy for a lot of us to say, well, I would never do that. You know, I would never do those things. But how many of us have slowly, without noticing it, been shaped and squished and conformed? And we've started, maybe without even noticing, that we've adopted and started worshiping this God's world, this world's God of money, success, popularity, and status, and pleasure, and comfort, and convenience. Those things are like, they're like gods to us, right? We love them. We honor those things. We hallow those things. We depend on those things. We have faith in those things. We look to those things for our peace. We look to those things to give us purpose. We look to those things to give us our provision. That's how you treat your God. And it's just as true today as it was for the Jews in the New Testament and the Jews in the Old Testament. We're all being formed. We're all being formed either by conforming to this world and its ways and its values and its gods, or we're being transformed into the likeness of Jesus and his kingdom and his ways and his values. So the question is not, will I be formed? The question is, will I intentionally choose what or who will form me? Spiritual formation, I think people get mixed up on this because, like, well, yeah, I'm not really a church person, so. But spiritual formation is not a home church thing. Spiritual formation is not a Christian thing. Spiritual formation is a human thing. To be human is to change, physically and spiritually. So whether you're a church person or a Jesus person or not, your spirit is being formed. John Mark makes a great point in the book. Mother Teresa was a product of spiritual formation, and so was Hitler. Right? Both of them had their spirits formed by some crazy concoction, mixture, combination of whatever, family, culture, habits, wounds, education, experience, decisions, their environment, a whole bunch of stuff formed them spiritually. And it's the same for us. We've all been formed. We're all being formed. We're all going to be formed. And here's the key. The big problem is most of our spiritual formation is unintentional. So I'll say that again. All of us, just like Mother Teresa, just like Hitler, just like the Jews in the New Testament in Rome, just like the Jews in the Old Testament in Canaan, all of us have been and are being and will be formed spiritually. But the problem is most of our spiritual formation is unintentional. Most of us never sat down and said, where is God calling me to be spiritually? Right? Like, where do I want to get? And then started adding on events and habits and relationships to our lives to get us there. Instead, we just, you know, get out of bed in the morning and we go through our day and we breathe the air of this world. And we live the life of this world, and we hang out with the people of this world, and we just, the events and the habits and the decisions and the relationships form us. No Christian ever said, well, now I'm a Christian, but what I really want is to be conformed to the patterns of this world. No Christian ever said, you know, well, my goal is to become selfish. You know, what I really want is to become mean or greedy or scared or anxious or depressed or judgy, right? It just happens just by living here in this world. So the question is, if we can't be transformed into the likeness of Jesus until we first stop being conformed to this world, like, how are we going to do that? How do we resist conforming to the patterns of this world? And one, I think, like, helpful first step, if we want to do this thing, is as an exercise, is to name the forces in your life that are forming you or deforming you, and see what they are. So to kind of help us with that, The Practicing the Way people have this little 4-minute video that I want to show you, and it talks about this concept of unintentional spiritual formation. So take a look.
How we become who we become is a sacred mystery of the human soul, taunting the brightest minds of both science and spirituality. But there is a surprising level of agreement across disciplines. We are formed by 6 primary forces: our habits, our relationships, the stories we believe, our environment, time, and experience. The first 4 forces are more active, more about what we do. The last 2 are more passive, more about what is done to us. Let's take a deeper look at each one. We are formed by our habits. What we do on a regular basis, we become. Reading the news, doom scrolling on social media, going to the gym. The things we do do something to us. They get into the core of our being and shape who we become. The journalist Charles Duhigg called this the power of habit. It's easy to think we're just watching Netflix or checking email late at night or buying another pair of shoes. But actually, we're turning a kind of invisible fulcrum in our heart in a particular direction. We're becoming a type of person. Secondly, we are formed by our relationships. We become like the people we spend time with. Think about your family and friends. The odds are very high that you dress like them, think like them, talk like them, vote like them, spend money like them, and so on. Third, we are formed by the stories we believe. God wired the human brain to search for meaning, to take all the data points of reality and turn them into a story, a narrative to live in and live out. This is why we love movies and novels and telling stories around the campfire. And every day we are exposed to stories. Stories about what is the good life, what will make us happy, and what the meaning and purpose of life even is. These stories shape us far more than we realize. And whatever stories we come to believe are true determine the kind of people we become. For example, one of the reasons so many marriages end in heartache is because no marriage can possibly live up to the story we are told by Hollywood and pop music, which is very different from the story Jesus tells. The stories we believe give shape to the thousands of decisions we make every day, from whether we stay in a marriage, to how we spend our money, to how many hours we spend at work. Pick your stories carefully, because they will determine who you become. And our stories and relationships and habits all come from an environment. Whether you live in a small town or a global city, in a Western secular culture or a traditional religious culture, we all become like the place we live. And in the digital age, we all live in 2 places at once, in our city or town or area, and in the echo chambers of the algorithms that define our digital home. This may be good or it may be bad, but it is. You will become like your environment. These forces work on us slowly over time. They sneak up on us little by little and have a cumulative effect. We wake up one day and realize we've changed. And through experience, we are deeply shaped not just by what we do, but by what is done to us. Nowhere is this more true than in our family of origin and our childhood, but it's also true of our whole lives. Do we go to college or drop out of high school? Get our dream job or file for bankruptcy? Get married, get divorced, or stay single? Our experiences deeply shape who we become. In summary, we are formed by our habits, relationships, the stories we believe, and our environment. And this happens over time and through experience. We call this paradigm unintentional spiritual formation because it's a synopsis of how we are formed with no intentionality, just by waking up in the morning and going about our day. The question isn't, are you becoming someone? It's, who or what are you becoming?
So let me ask you a question. Who's up for something weird? Okay, so I can see there's a lot of new people here. When Larry says, who's up for something weird, we raise our hands and enthusiastically say, yeah! Okay, so I'll give you another chance. Early service, some people haven't had coffee yet. Who's up for something weird?
Yeah!
Okay, now you're fixing to regret it because that's manipulate that whole thing. We're going to do like a exercise of self-reflection. Okay, and this is going to be just a little bit weird, but I'm going to ask you to do it. And I'm just going to tell you, if you don't do it, everybody else around you is doing it. So you will be the weird one. Okay, so just do it. Okay, are you going to do it?
Yes.
Are you going to do it or not?
Yes.
Okay, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Close your eyes. So that you never want to do a drill where they start with closing your eyes, right? And here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Seriously now, take about 3 deep, slow breaths. Okay, now with your eyes still closed, I want you to ask God to direct your mind. Let him take your mind where he wants it to go. Then I'm going to ask you to imagine yourself, to see yourself in 10 years or 20 years or 30 years. And just see yourself, see who you are in the future. And then one more deep breath. As you're still looking at yourself in the future, and ask yourself, who am I becoming? Because the question is not, am I becoming someone? The question is, who am I becoming? Okay, you can look back up here, and I'll just tell you, this author, John Mark Comer, kind of famously did this exercise for himself when he was about 30 years old, and what he saw when he looked at himself in the future was something that he says terrified him. Because what he saw was somebody that was very hurried, someone that was very anxious, someone that was very tired and frustrated and irritable, and he could just see that's what he was becoming. Not someone that was peaceful, not someone that was joyful, not someone that was loving. And he says for him, it was a wake-up call. And he made some major changes to the environment that was shaping him, that was forming him. And he changed jobs. He quit a really big deal job for a smaller job. He wrote a really great book you should read called The Elimination of Hurry, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. And he got intentional about his formation, and it changed who he is becoming. So that's him. He's famous. Like, well, what about you? I mean, what changes do you need to make to change the trajectory of your spiritual formation to the direction of Jesus? And I think for a lot of us, it starts with just understanding that we are being formed. And just taking a real look at what is shaping us. And so to help you with that, and this isn't my tool, this is provided by these people practicing the way, they have this thing called a formation audit. It's like a little quiz, like you take in a magazine, what kind of person are you or whatever. It's like a little questionnaire or something. And it takes a minute. I mean, it takes some time to do it, and it takes self-reflection. We always say a mirror can get kind of heavy, so sometimes it's kind of hard to do this kind of stuff, but you don't have to do it. But before you decide whether or not you're going to do it, ask yourself a couple of questions. Number one, who am I becoming? And then number two, am I being intentional about who I'm becoming? And this formation audit is just a way for you to kind of take inventory of the processes and the forces that are currently forming you. And it's the stories we believe, and it's the habits, and it's the relationships, and it's environment and time an experience, and it's going to ask you some questions about to help you see. It's not, I mean, you're the only one that's going to see it, right? It's just to help you see how you have been and how you are being formed. So if you want to get one of those questionnaires, you can scan that little QR code, or we have a couple of the paper ones back in the Connection Center if you want to pick one of those up. And here's how it works. You just print it out, and then you have to set aside, you know, like we said last week, you have to set aside some quiet time, and then, you know, take a few deep breaths, and then just pray, God, show me my life. And show me who I am and how I'm living it and what my habits and my relationships and my beliefs are and how they're forming me. And that sounds a little self-helpy, but that's exactly what David prayed. If you look, we always say, if you want to pray a prayer that you know you're praying in Jesus' name, then pray a biblical prayer, right? Because we know that's sanctioned. We know that prayer is officially approved by God, right? It's in the Bible. So here's David in Psalm 139:23. Look what he says. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. So this thing is going to ask you to think and write out stuff like your routine. What do you do in the morning? What about work? How do you eat? How do you sleep? What about your relationships with family and friends? And it's going to help you identify how those patterns and how those relationships are forming you. So just a quick example. Maybe with your habits. Maybe every day you start by looking at the news. I'm not going to ask. A lot of you do that. And it's not a sin to look at the news first thing in the morning. A lot of people do it. My dad read the whole newspaper every single morning at the kitchen table in his tidy whities, right, with a cup of coffee and a pack of Winston cigarettes, right? That's just what he did, man. That was his routine. And what I figured out years later, I developed a very similar routine of reading the news every day. And I did it differently. I did it on the back porch instead of at the kitchen table, and I don't smoke. And instead of a newspaper, I used a news app. And I don't wear tidy whities because it caused a lot of problems with the neighbors. And that audit really made me think about how this habit of reading the news every day is forming me. Because when I read the news, I don't know what you're reading, but for me, a lot of it is kind of depressing and kind of frustrating. And some of it makes me mad. And so I just ask myself, well, how is it forming me to do that first thing every day? What kind of person is that squishing me and shaping me and forming me into? Is that habit shaping me into a loving, peaceful, joyful person who's close to God? Or is that habit shaping me into someone who's depressed and frustrated and angry and anxious? So I change the routine. And it's the same with people. I want to ask, how are those interactions with people shaping me? It's the same with habits. How are the habits in my life shaping me? How's the environment in my life shaping me? So if you do this audit, there's no judgment. Nobody's going to see it but you, right? And there's no decisions that you have to make right now at all. This is just you. It's a tool. Just like do a little inventory of what forces are currently forming you and shaping you. And I got to tell you, you need to take your time. We're doing a little exercise almost every week, and this is going to be probably the longest one we do, but it's really important because next week, if we do this week, we talk about what's conforming us now, then next week we're going to come in really ready to get into the meat of this whole idea, which is how can we intentionally choose to be formed into the likeness of Jesus? So let's review. Spiritual formation is not a Christian thing. It's a human thing. We're all being formed right now by a complex blend of factors that include what he said, habits and relationships, the stories we believe, our environment. That's all happening over time, and that's all happening through our experience. Here's a big one. Most of our formation, even our spiritual formation, maybe especially our spiritual formation, most of our formation is unintentional. And so a couple of questions we might want to ask ourselves is, who am I becoming? And am I being intentional about who I'm becoming? Because one day I'm going to wake up and I'm going to be 75. or I'm going to be 85, or I'm going to be 105. And what's going to matter on that day is not really how much money I made, or how successful I was, or what stuff I owned, or how I looked, or my best golf score, or whether I saw the latest TV series. What's going to really matter is the person I became. And I think for this week, it's just really important that we see how we're living has a huge impact on who we're becoming. So by the power of the Holy Spirit, we want to resist conforming to this world. And next week, we'll start taking a real look at how we really can be transformed into the likeness of Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you because you've created us beautifully and you've made us, the Bible says, wonderfully complex. And we see it in the kids because we see them changing and growing and morphing and being transformed from these tiny little babies into these great grown-up people. We see it physically. But God, will you just open our eyes today and let us see that not just our children, each one of us is being formed every day by the stuff around us, by the environment around us, by the world that we live in. Each one of us is being formed, not only physically, we're being formed spiritually. So God, I just pray that you will speak to us, show us that this formation is happening, and just give us the wisdom and the discernment to kind of take charge of that and say, we're being formed. Let's be intentional about how we're being formed. Let's be intentional about what is forming us. Let's be intentional about who is forming us. So God, I just pray this week will be a great week of self-reflection for us, that we'll see what has been forming us, and then next week we'll be fully ready to begin the work of being transformed into the likeness of Jesus. And none of this is done in our power, and none of this is done by our wisdom, and none of this is done in our own initiative. Every bit of this is done through your Spirit leading us and guiding us and empowering us. So lead us and guide us and empower us and transform us into the likeness of Jesus. In his name, amen.